May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you had to decide what your last words to your loved ones would be, what would you say? What would you want their lasting image of you to be? What words of wisdom would you want to leave with them? If they only remembered one thing that you ever said, what would you want it to be? Today, our gospel reading continues in Jesus' farewell discourse. These are the words that he chooses to leave with the disciples as he prepares for his betrayal and arrest later that night, for his death in the days to come. The lasting image that Jesus chose to leave with them is one we reflected on in church last week, the image of him as the vine connected to them, the branches, giving them nourishment, stability, support, even that necessary pruning amid all the challenges of living and growing in this world. Jesus ties this image of vine and branches to the rest of his teaching, where there's a lot of talk about what it means to abide and to love. And in fact, Jesus says those two words, abide and love, over and over and over so many times in this passage that it starts to sound a little kooky after a while. The language is very circular, very repetitive. It seems like Jesus is really repeating himself. I wonder if we might sense in that repetition a hint of passion or even of desperation, trying to drill this last message in before he leaves his friends. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Jesus pledges his continuing connection to them, to us, and pleads that we acknowledge, strengthen, and nurture this connection to him. And we spent a little time considering how to do that last Sunday, how to nurture our connection to the vine. It's simple and not so simple. Daily conversation with him in prayer, not only talking, but taking time to listen, as any good conversationalist does. Daily dwelling in his word by reading from our scripture. Regular participation in Christ's body still on earth, our gathering and our worship here. Simple and not so simple, right? Each of those things take time amid what are already full lives. They take attention when our attention is pulled in oh so many directions. They take courage and commitment in a world that seems less and less interested in its connection to the vine. But today, in our reading, Jesus himself gives us a different way to remain connected to his love, a single way, it seems, above all other ways: keeping his commandments. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. As the author of 1 John put it, for the love of God is this, that we obey God's commandments. Nothing more, nothing less. Simple and, well, not quite so simple. To love Jesus is to keep his commandments. You don't keep the commandments, you don't love Jesus. However much you pray, no matter how often you read scripture or attend worship, whatever good you do in the community or whatever money you might give away, what truly shows love for God and keeps you connected to the love of God is keeping Jesus' commandments. On this final night with his friends, before his death, Jesus gives them just one more commandment, a new commandment, he calls it. And this is arguably the only commandment that Jesus gives the disciples. It's the only commandment he gives them in the Gospel of John and in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's only phrased a little differently. Just one commandment, simple and not so simple. This is the commandment he chooses to leave with them on his final night with them. These are his final words, his farewell address. Love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. Simple and not so simple. How has Jesus loved these disciples? He has found and met them where they are, reeking of fish and sweat and hard labor out in their boats, sitting refined and comfortable and pretty well off in their tax collector booth, amidst their doubt and their skepticism. He has called them from wherever they are without judgment from of the places from where they came. He chose them and loved them before they ever even had the chance to choose him and love him in return. He has practiced patience over and over again, as over and over again he's told these disciples what it means to follow, and over again they have failed to grasp the concept. He has forgiven and welcomed and healed. He has treated them with hospitality, but also not without frustration and genuine disappointment. He has empowered them to do work on their own, to go out apart from him. He has loved them despite their own deep differences from him, and certainly their deep differences from one another. He will continue to love them despite betrayal, denial, and abandonment. He will love their well-being above his own, care for their own lives more than he cares for his own. He will give himself for them. No one has greater love than this. He will love them to the end. How has Jesus loved us? When has he found you and met you where you are? In your hard labor, in your comfort, in your doubt? When has he chosen you, though maybe you didn't choose him? When have you known his patience or forgiveness, his welcome or his healing? When have you felt his frustration and disappointment? Where have you been empowered to do Jesus' work on your own? When have you found yourself amidst a community, some of whom are quite different from yourself, but all brought together by the love of Jesus? When did you know that he cared for you, for your well-being above his own, that he would give himself for you, that he would love you to the end? You want to show your love for me, Jesus says? Then love one another as I have loved you. Considering how we have been loved, that is simple and definitely not so simple. That is a tall order. For we have been loved so totally and completely, so far beyond our wildest imaginings. How do we love one another as Jesus loved us? How do we possibly begin to love one another as Jesus has loved us? Well, by meeting people where they are, in their poverty, in their comfort, in their doubt. By not passing judgment on others for their past or their present, Jesus has chosen them after all. By loving one another and working together despite our differences. And let's dwell on that for a moment, because I think that's a tough one today. Let's together not underestimate the power of the church to model something better than what is being modeled in our society right now. It means that if you have had enough to eat today, you don't get to pass judgment on those who receive what they need from someone else, whether they seem deserving or not. It means that you Fox News watchers out there have to love the MSNBC watcher at the pew in front of you. Yes, you do. You want to love Jesus, you got to love others. Jesus loves you no matter your news network. It means that you liberals out there have to get over any hatred for conservatives, because to hate them is to hate God. It means that if you identify as straight in your sexuality, you need to find a way to genuinely show hospitality to people of different sexual orientations. It means that in your difference, you need to seek a way to actively welcome them into your heart, into your community, much as our church is going to do in the month of June. It means that if Black Lives Matter makes you feel agitated or angry, you need to take some time to better love and understand the brothers and sisters who are a part of that movement. And if over a year into this presidency, you still find people that voted for Donald Trump deplorable, well, you need to take some time to consider their motivations and to hold these sisters and brothers in loving prayer. That's what it means to love others as we've been loved. We love one another as Jesus loved us, by forgiving, by welcoming, by healing, not only those who are different from us, but those who are undeserving of it. As we have all been undeserving of these gifts of God at one time or another. Loving one another as Jesus has loved us means putting the well-being of others before our own. It means giving to others so that they can have something that you don't. It means loving one another to the end, to the very end, to the end of patience and reason and possibility and life. Love one another as I have loved you. That's all it takes. Simple and not so simple. Jesus has let us in on the secret here. Jesus has given us the key. We are servants no longer, but we are friends. And the key, well, as it turns out, it's not an easy truth. It's not an easy pill to swallow. It is not cheap grace. The key is truth that is hard. It is grace that costs us something. But we can be strengthened and reassured in this hard truth by this. This love for others, it's not earning the love of Jesus. For Jesus has loved us first. Before we do a thing, no matter who we are, this is showing our love for Jesus. This loving others is our faithful response to the unconditional love that we have already received, poured out upon us new each day. This is the love by which we conquer the world, as 1 John puts it. It's the love by which we spread the good news. There's no other way to do it. It's the love that makes Christ known to others. It's the love that can transform worlds and change hearts and turn things around. It's the love that breaks down barriers and builds up strength and spans the distances of time and space. It's the love by which they will know we are Christians. It's the love that's all in all. It's the love that Jesus chooses to leave with us when he departs this world. It's the way we know that he never really left, after all. We pray today in thanksgiving for this amazing, unconditional gift of love. And we pray for the strength to share it with one another. Thanks be to God. Amen.